One of the most famous parts of Parshat Pinchas is a whole section which we read as the maftir section, as the additional section on Rosh Chodesh, on the Chagim, the days that we say Musaf, and that is the offerings that were brought on the holidays, the Korban HaTamid, the daily sacrifices, the sacrifices brought on Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, etc. And the Torah offers us in Parshat Pinchas very exact detail of what the sacrifices were, what the libation offerings were that was brought with each sacrifice. I'd like to focus in on the beginning of this section and talk about the Korban HaTamid, the sacrifice that was brought every single day in the morning and in the evening. And I'll begin with a preface that when one of my children asked me, you know, what I'm doing, and I said I'm doing a shiur on the Korban HaTamid, they said, is this really relevant for people's lives? You know, they know already that the shiur has to be something that's going to affect us. So we don't bring a Korban HaTamid. We don't bring this normal sacrifice. So I told her to listen to the shiur. And I'll be honest with you that not only do I think that this is relevant, I think it could be life-altering, as every shiur is. If we take to heart some of the ideas found here, they are of tremendous import and fundamental in our service of Hashem. Let's take a look at the section itself, source one. Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, command the children of Israel and say to them, my offering, my food for my fires, my satisfying aroma shall you be scrupulous to offer me in its appointed time. And you shall say to them, this is a fire offering that you are to offer to Hashem, male lambs of the first year, unblemished to a day, as a continual elevation offering. And this is the Korban HaTamid that was brought every day. And it was a Korban Olah. It was an elevated offering that the entire sacrifice was sacrificed to God. The Kohanim, as well as the people, did not partake of it. It was completely burnt. The one lamb shall you make in the morning, and the second lamb shall you make in the afternoon, with a tenth ephah of fine flour, a meal offering mixed with a quarter hin of crushed oil. That in itself would have been enough information. But then the Chumash adds the following pasuk, and that will be the operative one for today. It is the continual elevation offering that was done at Mount Sinai for a satisfying aroma, a fire offering to Hashem. And then it continues in its libation, its a quarter, etc. So the question that I'd like to ask, and this again brings us back to the fundamental aspect of learning that every pasuk and every Rashi is so important, and that every word, every letter has to be examined. The question the Mefarshim ask is, what is this pasuk doing here, pasuk vav, the sixth pasuk, telling us that this was down at Mount Sinai? What do I learn from this? Correct. There is a whole halachic treatise based on this, about what sacrifices were brought then, what was sacrifices were brought while the Jews were in the desert, and it has a tremendous halachic import. That is clearly not our focus at all, but it has, as well as we'll see in Yirtzeh Hashem today, a tremendous hashkafic import. As Rashi notes in source number 1D, this offering is identical to the one that was offered in the wilderness of Sinai during the inauguration of the tabernacle. We need to understand, obviously, the connection if it was done at that time as well. The second question I'd like to ask, which is a much more specific question, and the question I'd like to begin with, is, and obviously there's a lot to say here, but in this description, without getting into the whole concept of korbanos, which we've dealt with in the past, and maybe Emirat Hashem will deal with again sometime in the future, but this phrase, and it's a phrase that we encounter in our davening, korbani lachmi, my offering, my food, lachmi, literally from the word lechem, which is food. So this seems very strange. What are we doing? The sacrifices are feeding God, kivyachol. What does this mean that the sacrifices are referred to as lechem, my food? So on this idea, the Yosayim LaTorah brings down perhaps the normative approach, and that's in source number 3 at the bottom. V'chi lechem shalanu utzarich, does God need our bread? The olos, lanu, in the merit of the lachmi, of the lecha, of our bread that we are bringing to God, so to speak, the food that we are offering to God, in the merit of that food that we are offering to God, then God will be mezin. He will provide sustenance and nourishment to the world. So it becomes as if this bread turns into God's bread as a medium, our sacrifices of God bestowing upon us all the blessings of sustenance. Another completely different way of looking at the concept of lachmi is not to understand the word lechem in terms of food, but an entirely unrelated word, which gets us to the core of what korbanos are about, and this will serve as the bedrock of understanding this korban tami. Why was it necessary to have a sacrifice every day? Why was it necessary to have a sacrifice twice a day? In the shacharit in the morning and ben arbayim in the afternoon, paralleling our shacharis and mincha. And again, why is this sacrifice connected back to Har Sinai? So on this, the Marosh Shirim brings down a very, very beautiful idea from the Netziv of Halashon, who says, "Habitui lachmi milashon halachma," which means to solder. Klomar hadbaka chazaka shel shnei atzamim. It's putting like two pieces of metal together. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar kadam shu melachem shnei nesarim umitbakim ze laze. As if somebody taking two pieces of metal and soldering them together. B'midrash that, this medrash that he quotes, Chazal understand the word vayilachmehu as vayirachamehu, that a person has the ability to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what lachmi means. It's that when we bring a sacrifice to Hashem, this pu'ulah, this action that we do, is something that connects our guf and our nefesh together, our physical and our spiritual together, and in that way we are connecting Hashem and Klal Yisrael together. So when we talk about the sacrifice, I think this is a very powerful idea, of korbani lachmi, my sacrifice is a lachmi. It's not understanding it typically as my bread, but the sacrifices, because the hechitimsi, the medium of connecting Klal Yisrael and the Jewish people. It's the medium where we become so attached, it's like soldering two pieces together that you can't separate them, that they become one. And that was the goal of the sacrifice, that on some level there would be this union, this connection between the Jewish people and Klal Yisrael. And in fact, the Rav Reis continues in source number 6, and he says that the idea of lachmi is found, that phrase, both by korbanos, as well as one other aspect of Judaism, and that's in the concept of Talmud Torah, of learning Torah. As the pasuk says, toward the bottom of 6, lechu lach, lachmu belachmi. And here the lechem is about, again, this hitkashrut, this connection to Kadosh Baruch Hu through the study of Torah. And Rav Reis, again, based on the writings of the Netziv of Halashon, Shirashirim, and elsewhere, speaks about that our goal, if you had to pick what our goal in life is, it's clearly dveikus, it's connection to Hashem. It's to feel this avas Hashem, it's to feel this love to Hashem. And obviously, for love to be real, it has to be felt both ways. It has to be that we give the love and that we receive the love back. The korbanos and limud Torah were those two mediums when the Beis HaMikdash was around in particular, where we felt this back and forth, where we gave of ourselves to Hashem, and in some way we felt that love reciprocated back to us, and we felt that union, we felt that connection between Hashem and ourselves. And that, my friends, is ultimately the goal of bringing a sacrifice every single day, is to ensure that this relationship be constant between us and Hashem. And that is how Rav Reis continues in source number 7. He says, "Achein b'tzara erech ha'niflash shel korban ha'tamid," the greatness of this daily sacrifice, "yesh lasim lev li karon mikudash nosaf ha'mikupal bo, hu chovat ha'kviyot b'avadat Hashem." Not only does a sacrifice represent love, but what's specific about the korban tami, the daily offering that was offered twice a day, is the kviyos. It's the fact that it is an established twice a day, not just on Shabbos or Rosh Chodesh or Rosh Hashanah and special times, but every single day we make sure to have this relationship. And for one to really have a relationship of love, it can't be something that's going to be at, you know, very random times. It has to be something kviya v'kayama. It has to be something that is felt on a constant basis. And here, this idea of the kviyos has to be the lesson for us as well. And that is, we need to understand that our relationship with Hashem, hu liyot kvuim v'avodat Hashem. We can't be Jews whenever we feel like it. You know, today sounds like a nice day that I'm going to feel Jewish and do Jewish things. No. Our relationship to Hashem has to be kviya v'kayama, has to be constant, on a constant basis. V'lo shezu te'aseh k'bederech agav. O k'mashu mikri v'ara'i. It can't be just when I feel like it and on a very temporary basis. And that's really the difference from last week's parasha between Bilam and Moshe Rabbeinu, or Klai Yisrael. Vayikara lokim el Bilam. Hashem came to Bilam b'mikra. Sometimes he came to him, sometimes he doesn't. But the tzaddik is referred to ke'et shatul apal geimayim, like a tree which is deeply rooted on the ground, which means that all the winds can come and can't push away this tree. There's something of strength here. That, my friends, is our goal. The Korban Tamid sets for us the goal of what our Avodas Hashem is about, and that goal is having a constant relationship of love, a reciprocal relationship with Hashem. And on this level, as the Sfasemis notes in source number 8, it's no wonder that we read Parshas Pinchas every year around the time of the 3 weeks. Shavuos Arba Tammuz Amirat Hashem on Tuesday, beginning the 3 week period of Avelus, culminating in Tisha B'Av, the destruction of the temple. We read it at this time to remind ourselves of what we've lost. And it's interesting, and we'll talk more about this at the end of the Shir, Mirtz Hashem, that one of the things that we mourned for specifically on Shiva Sarva Tammuz, one of the five things, was in the first temple period, the Korban Tamid, this sacrifice of the daily offering, was stopped from being brought. They were not able to bring it anymore. So when we read about how special the sacrifice is, how it connects us to Hashem, and then we come to Shiva Sarva Tammuz, it becomes much more intense for us, that we realize that this was missing, that this is something we're mourning for. But here comes the question, my friends. This is all very nice and fine that we have to have a relationship of kviyus, of kayama, of love, of constancy to Hashem. But practically, how do we go about this? What are the mediums? What are the mechanisms to allow ourselves this relationship? And it's interesting that I like to offer three aspects of what we can see from the Korban HaTamid, how it's connected to Har Sinai, three aspects on this kviyos that allows us to have a very, very grounded relationship with Hashem. And I'd like to use as the acronym today, we need to have a PhD, PhD relationship with Hashem. Let's learn together. Rabbi Friend on the Parsha. Every day of the year, even on Shabbos and Yantif, there is a mitzvah to bring the Korban Tamid, the regular daily sacrifice, source 9, one in the morning and the second afternoon. The Torah describes the laws that apply to the Korban Tamid and then adds a curious remark that should be like the one made at Mount Sinai. What additional information about the Korban Tamid are we meant to glean by examining the Korban Tamid brought during the dedication of the Mishkan at Mount Sinai? The Sifri and the Talmud discuss this question, and the sages offer various opinions regarding the derivation of specific particulars. But Yosef Salant, Ber Yosef, points out that the sages are addressing only the halakhic derivations. There's also a very important philosophical point that we derive ourselves. And he speaks about, go back, he used the example of tefillin. We can use any example that perhaps is more relevant to women, if tefillin is not. Of the first time doing something, could be the first time lighting Shabbos candles, first time davening, whatever it may be, the passion, the enthusiasm, how, you know, like, wow, it's incredible. And then what happens over time? You know, it becomes like rote. We lose that fire. We lose that fervor. And when something is done day in, day out, as wonderful as it may be, it eventually becomes done by rote. It becomes stale, becomes automatic, without thought. The thrill is gone. This is the pitfall on the next page in source 10 of the Korban Tamid, the sacrifice for it every day, in and day out, morning and evening, as long as the Beis HaMikdash and Mishkan were standing. After a while, there's a risk that the novelty will wear off, that the enthusiasm will disappear, that the excitement will fade, they'll be brought mechanically, without feeling or inspiration. Therefore, the Torah reminds us, bring the daily sacrifice as you made the one on Mount Sinai, when everything was still new, when your heart beat faster and you caught your breath with excitement. This is what you should do every day. Reach for that inspiration. It can be done. So the first aspect Yirtzeh Hashem will develop is the P of the PhD, which is passion. That we need to have that original passion. What does Mamet Har Sinai represent? It represents that moment of first, of newness. And when you had newness, you had passion. And that's what we have to remind ourselves, that when we do something day in, day out, twice a day, we may lose that passion. We may lose that rote. But recognize that our challenge by the Korban Tumi, and it's a challenge in all of our mitzvot in life, is to never lose, that we shouldn't have that passion fade. That's the challenge. That's what the goal we need to reach. Rav Kram in the Talmudo B'Yado develops this in a very long essay, beginning of source number 11. And he says, Shematbea hadvarim, makeh hargel et the chedva shal yiladvut v'yitrakshut. The nature of things says that when we do something very often, we lose that passion, we lose that enthusiasm. That's why we should read the pasuk as olah tamid, even though it's an olah that we bring tamid at all times, it should be hasuya bahar Sinai. It should be as was brought on Mount Sinai, as the reach nichoach laHashem. And we can't allow that hergel, we can't allow that rote to take over. He gives a very nice example. He says there's a pasuk in source 13, there's a pasuk in Tehillim. There's a whole perek that describes all the people that have to thank Hashem for the miracles that happened to them. And at the end of this perek, it says, Mi chacham v'yishmor eila v'yitvarnu chastei Hashem. Who is the wise one who's able to keep these things and be able to introspect on the kindness of God? And here the Mitzvot David says, whose heart is able to raise him up to be able to hold on to these ideas? Because this is true not only in the daily sacrifices, which parallel obviously, as we'll talk about soon, Amir Tzashem, our tefillah, this is true of life. A person could have been saved from a major miracle in life. And for days, they're walking around on such a high, and they feel so indebted to Hashem. A person who was sick and now is better. A person who was in a precarious situation and was left out. The first couple of days, depending on the situation, they're saying, wow, and they're telling him about the miracles. Mi chacham v'yishmor eila. The key is not to allow that to wane, to keep that feeling of passion, inspiration, and more particularly that feeling of closeness that you feel at that moment or those moments of gratitude toward Hashem and be able to become part and parcel of our lives. That's the challenge. And with this, he brings down, and since I teach Hosea, I felt very connected to this idea because I had never seen it before, and it makes so much sense. There's a pasuk that men say when they wrap the tefillin around them. Very often you'll find this pasuk on wedding invitations. Pasuk says, Ve'erastich li le'olam, and I will betroth you, I will engage you forever. Ve'erastich li b'chesed, b'mishpat, there are many different things brought down. So the question that Rav Reis asked, and it's a great question, source 14, he says, why is all of these things about Ve'erastich, to be engaged to Hashem? Ve'erastich li b'emunah, v'yadatak yeni Hashem. Engagement's a very short period. I mean, how long are you engaged for? Okay, a year or so, but probably the most. You know, people are engaged for 6 weeks, 3 months, I don't know, 6 months. But you're not engaged your whole life. What does it mean, ve'erastichli, and I will engage you? It should be, and I will marry you. The marriage is forever. So says Rav Reis, this is the nekuda. And working with students, you see this so clearly. When a girl is engaged, she's like flying, right? And you watch the way the chassan and kala interact with each other, and you feel like you're in like some Hollywood scene, you know? The niceties and just the way of speaking. If you know what I'm talking about, if you ever watched an engaged couple, you know exactly what I'm saying. I don't need to go further. But what happens? Okay, so the first couple of months, halavai, the first couple of months of marriage should go well. And then what happens? You're married to the person, 80 years, 100 years, however long you're married, and shigra and routine, you know, comes in, and you lose that passion of the engagement. Ve'rastich li le'olam, and Hashem says that I will betroth you forever. That initial relationship of love, that first love, is the way I'm going to treat Klal Yisrael forever. That is that the passion will never wane, it will never decrease. That pasuk, and that's why it's said, while putting on tefillin, a much deeper level, is when we're connected to Hashem, we have to be connected with that feeling of, I'm never going to allow it to dissipate. I'm never going to allow it to fade. That feeling, that initial fervor and passion, will be forever. My friends, on this first level, that the Korban Tamid sets up for us a model in our constant service of Hashem of passion. And that we have to feel that passion and not get caught up in the rote. Like the original passion of Mamad Har Sinai, when the first sacrifice was offered, is a challenge that we need to think about in particular when it comes to our davening, when it comes to our tefillah, which we know today is b'makom, is in place of the korbanos. I'd like to share some insights. Obviously, if we had the answers, you know, life would be easy. But we don't. We struggle and we give suggestions and we see what resonates with us. So I'd like to share a new book on tefillah. And I'll just share with you how I came to acquire this sefer. 2 weeks ago, or really last week, on Friday, a woman said to me, Shira, I just picked up Erumah Shel Olam. Do you have that book? I told her I never heard of it. And the conversation went on. Then the next day on Shabbos, I was giving a shir. And a woman came over to me and said, Shira, I want to thank you for quoting Rav Lugassi so much, right? The Yam Derech. I love his forum, and I picked up his sefer, Berumo Shel Olam Tefillah. So when I hear a sefer twice within 48 hours, so bells go off in my head and say, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I get the picture, you want me to get this sefer. That's not so difficult. It was more difficult to get the sefer. Had to go to three different sforim stores. But Baruch Hashem, I'm so glad. It's a 12 shekel sefer, $3. I mean, but what a priceless sefer, my friend. Berumo Shel Olam, Rav Lugassi, I'm very much taken by his sforim, very much speaks to our day and age, where he says the following. He says, we have to understand that our tefillos, our brachos, are so fundamental that the first thing we really do in the morning is say brachos. Our relationship with Hashem is really the bedrock of our day. And he said, imagine a person gets up to Shemayim, and they, you know, this imagery of the scale, and they start bringing in these cartloads of mitzvot. So the person's very excited. Wow, these are all the brachos I've said. These are all the tefillos I've davened. They're really excited. Cartloads upon cartloads. And then when they open up these packages, they're a bit disappointed to find that they were said hurriedly, that they were said without kavanah, and that there's like a tiny package of brachos that were said with kavanah. And he includes in those brachos in Sur 17, like the Shechianu on Yom Kippur, like the Achilas Matzah on Lel HaSeder. You know, these are the ones that come in that special wrap package of kavanah. And here, this really struck me. Let's learn together in the middle of 17. Ve'achshav, yishalu oto tagid ben adam. Then these angels are going to ask this person, Tzbir lana, please explain to us. Ata, kamas man darush lomar bracha kara'ui, v'kamas man lokachar ha-bracha ha-memul melet. How long does it take to say a proper bracha, and how long does it take to say a muttered bracha? The first one, 5 seconds, and the second one, 2 seconds. You mean to tell me, for the difference of 3 seconds, you can't say a bracha properly? Wow. What a mindset, what a thought to think about. How long does it take for us to say a bracha out loud? How long does it for us to actually articulate a bracha? Time it. 12 seconds, 10 seconds. We're not talking about 2 hours. I'm not talking about, you know, having all the kavanah. We're not there yet. We're just talking about blah, blah, blah. But saying it, articulating it. How many seconds does it? Seconds, not minutes. This is what we have to understand. We have to understand that we have to think before we say these brachos. We have to invest some time into what we are doing. You know, when I read this piece, it reminded me of when we got our new car a few years ago. I remember driving it home from the dealer. And then later in the day, we decided to take a ride. It's a brand new car. We turn the key in the ignition. Gornish, doesn't start. And I'm pressing this button, that button. You know, these cars have all these buttons. Nothing works. Now, I can't blame the battery. I can't blame the mileage. You're right, like 20 miles on the car. It's a brand new car. I can't get this car to start. So my husband and I were trying to figure out how to start this car. Here we're, thank God, two intelligent people. But we can't get this car to start. Finally, we figured out the trick. And it's a very important trick for life. Your foot has to be on the brake when you turn on the ignition. What a Musar Haskel for life. You need to stop before you start. And that has to be our mindset when it comes to our tefillah and our brachos in particular. Stop. Who are we talking to? Stop. What are we acknowledging? Stop. What is this communication all about? And then, once you've stopped and thought about it, then turn the car on. Then you can start. Then you can have this relationship. And that is why Rav Lugashi speaks about it. I mean, it's, you can see it's a fat sefer. He speaks about that tefillah is about this rendezvous with Hashem. It's about this feeling of connection with Hashem. We should long to have a proper tefillah. That should be our goal. Our goal shouldn't be how fast can I daven? How can I go to the shul that davens the fastest? But how can I have this feeling of lachmi, halachma, of connecting to Hashem and recognizing that davening is not just about, you know, throwing out words. Davening is about a relationship and communication with Hashem. And he has in the back, like, you know, questions and answers. And source 20, he says, in the physical world, for what things should you daven? And he says, Adam sarich litpalel al hakol. You should be davening for everything, from the smallest things, like buying, you know, some clothes, or to the most major things. Nothing is without communication with Hashem. Everything is about bringing Hashem into your life. You know, it's like that piece that Rabbi Rosenblatt brings in his book, Finding Light in Darkness. If a person is looking for a parking place and he really needs to find one fast, and he realizes that he needs to bring Hashem into the picture, so he says, God, if you can find me a parking place really quick so I can get to wherever I need to go really fast, I'll give whatever, X amount of money to Stucca. And as he's driving, the perfect parking place right where he needs it is there. So he parks and he turns to God and says, thank you, God, I found one without you, but thanks anyway for your help, right? That's our mindset. Our mindset is we can do things by ourselves. Yeah, we have lip service to God. No. Tefillah is about communication with Hashem. Tefillah is about honestly asking things from Hashem. Because it's not in 21 just milui mishalotam, filling our desires. Tefillah is about matara latzma, Hitkarvut LaHashem. It's about standing in front of Hashem. It's about speaking directly to Hashem. In 23, Shomedhu Lifnei Hashem L'lo Shum Mechitzot. Realize you're talking to Hashem directly and that you're having a relationship with Hashem. If we would think about each time that we speak, that we have the ability to talk to Hashem, have a direct relationship with Hashem, and we think about it, and we stop before we started, so then we could be able to engender this passion. We could engender this feeling of, wow, what a schus, what a merit I have. Salav arena l'secher machuso, as the Sivu Shalom said, to mention Hashem's name is so full of joy. Practically, as Reb Chasko Levenstein says in 22, start small. Start with one bracha. Start with one part of Shemona Esrei. At least in that part or in that bracha, feel the qualities in 25 that you're talking to Hashem. Feel that Hashem is listening to you, that everything you ask for. Recognize that nobody can help you but Hashem. And recognize, most importantly, that just like Talmud Torah, just like learning, everyone knows, needs Hashkaah. You can't just open up a sefer and expect to understand it, which is really true of any mitzvah or any endeavor. Any endeavor of importance for us takes effort, takes mindset, takes work. You know, it's funny how people think that they can open a sitter and start davening and then wonder why they don't feel connected to God. They forgot one small ingredient called hachana, preparation, called investing, called mindset, and people think it's just going to come easy to them. No, the foot on the brake, the key in the ignition, and then recognize, why am I davening? Davening directly to Hashem, say every word, think about the words, learn about davening, make it something which is the Olat Tamid. Make it in Shacharis and Mincha for women twice a day. Make that our tefillah, our kvius, our constant relationship with Hashem. At least davening Shemoneh Esrei, if we don't have time to daven more. Rabbi Nissel's book, Brik Shei Lev in English, goes through, depending on a woman's, where she is at in life, what she should say and how. Again, that's a very good English book to look at in the back. But a woman should be davening something during each and every day, feeling that kviyas to Hashem, but in the PhD, the P of passion. Now we get to the H, and that's the Ber Moshe, source 26. He says, Hey Rish Rashi, Hekisho lat tamid lo lat har Sinai, otash nikrava lifnei matan Torah. This was the korban that was brought before Mamon har Sinai. Perhaps this is the connection that this korban that was brought every day should be the same as the lesson which is found from har Sinai. What was the lesson that was found from har Sinai? So we know at Mount Sinai, the rabbis tell us, Paskazu Matam, the negativity of the snake was taken from them. Says the Zohar Kadosh that the Ber Moshe quotes, what is this Zuhama? What is this negativity? It is Gaiva. It is having pride and feeling great about oneself. That's why when Klai Yisrael, Mamad Har Sinai, were able to say Nasa V'Nishma, we will do and we will listen, and they didn't ask Makatupa what's written in it. They reached a level, Bittul, they reached a level of humility, and that's why Pascha Zumatam, that they were able to put God in front of them. The quality of the Korban Tami, which is connected to Mount Sinai, is the quality of humility, the quality of recognizing that God runs our life. Every time we bring the Korban Tamid, we have to remind ourselves, what was the quality that the Jewish people had at Mount Sinai? How can we bring that quality back into our lives? And the Ber Moshe takes this one step further, and he says, in 29, the Ke'ej Vuar Katuv Shol Fanenu, Ola Tamina Suya Bahar Sinai L'Reach Nicholach, specifically, the korban, the sacrifice which is brought with anivus, with humility, which we learn from the characteristic of the Jewish people on Mount Sinai, because at that time that korban ola was brought, the Jewish people said, Nasav Nishma. Who on your tzali fanav yifara? This is the one that is pleasing to God. Specifically, there is the Medrash Rabbah that says that when Avraham Avinu went to sacrifice his son at the time of the Akedah, that is when Hashem established this Korban Tamid, in theory, one in the morning and one in the afternoon. Because what does the Akedah Yitzchak represent? Obviously, the double underline, the Bittul Gamor, V'Hamale Klapei Hashem Yisparach, giving of oneself completely to Hashem. And the Ber Moshe continues and says, the quality, that what we're looking for in the Korban Tamid, in terms of our Avodas Hashem, is this quality of anivus, of humility, and the quality of Mesiris Nefesh, of our ability to give of ourselves completely to Hashem. How does this translate into our lives, this idea of humility? So Rabbi Rabbitz, through the prism of Torah, notes in 30, amongst the animal sacrifice enumerated in this parsha, the Torah details the tummy, the burnt offering, which was brought every day. And the work known as the Tanit Ve'Eliyahu, the rabbis enlightened us that on the day that Avraham bound his son Yitzchak in preparation for a sacrifice, The Almighty enacted two daily sacrifices in the merit of the Sakeda. The asterisk in 30, the idea would seem to be that since both Abraham and Yitzchak were ready to fulfill the divine request to make the supreme sacrifice in his honor, Hashem rewarded them by giving their descendants two animal offerings which would atone for their sins. Furthermore, because our ancestors were willing to give away everything, their life and the future of Klal Yisrael, so too, the two parts of the Korban Tumi would be completely donated to Hashem in the form of an Olah. There remains, however, one point that requires explanation. Why is it that we give two sacrifices at two different times of the day? Would it not make sense that they should be combined at the same time, like Avraham Yitzchak are one? So a quote to late Reisha Rav, who suggested the following, that every person passes through two main stages in his life, the years of his youth and those of a more senior citizen. Each period has its own assets and drawbacks. Someone young possesses a natural advantage of vigor, idealism, ambition to climb higher. However, he lacks maturity and the wisdom that comes with age. With older people, it's the reverse. They have the invaluable experience of life, and they are prudent. As we read in Eov, that wisdom accompanies the aged, but at this time of life, there's no longer the physical strength and drive to undertake things. However, a Jew is expected to serve Hashem at both stages. While still youthful, his natural energy and enterprise are a great boon in his spiritual endeavors. And when older, his know-how and ripened judgment are both invaluable assets. As long as Hashem blesses a person with that most precious gift of life, it should be put to good use by giving wise counsel and sharing its experience with others. And therefore, the Akedah provided a classic example of this alliance. The youthful Yitzchak joined forces with the aged Abraham, each one dedicating his own particular attributes to fulfillment of a divine request and creating, in a sense, a partnership of the Shacharit and Erev in honor of the Almighty. With this in mind, their accomplishment was rewarded with two offerings brought in the morning and the evening. And for us, my friends, this is about our humility, both when we are young, when we feel that we can conquer the world and that there's nothing stopping us, the humility to recognize that we are not in control, that God is the one that runs our lives. And later in life, when we're older and have more wisdom, but we lack the passion, and sometimes we get into yegush, despair, what can I accomplish? Also, that humility of recognizing that Hashem, as long as He's granted us life, He's granted us abilities, and in every stage of life, we have what to accomplish in life. The Avraham and Yitzchak, the Shacharis and the Mincha, every day is a reminder to us that we need to be able to give of ourselves whatever stage of life over to Hashem. What does it mean we have to give ourselves over? What is this Mesiras Nefesh about? So Rav Pinkus, although specifically talking about Rosh Hashanah and the Ve'asitim Ola, and you should make for yourself, that you should become the Ola, the burnt of sacrifice, notes as well that this is true every day, that the Korban Tumi was a Korban Ola. And what it requires from us is to be an Ola, to give of ourselves completely, is Mesiras Nefesh, is to give of ourselves completely. And he asks, well, what does this mean? You know, people speak about this all the time. I'm Moser Nefesh for this, and I give myself completely for that. But it's all talk. What does this mean practically? So he says, let's take, for example, 35, Lashon Hara. Why do people speak Lashon Hara? So, the 3 weeks are generally a time when the areas of Lashon Hara are discussed more in depth and focused in on, because we know it's in that sin that we still have the Korban today in our midst. He says part of it is this feeling of the different stages of the domain, the Sameach, the Chai, the Mdaber, the inanimate, the vegetative world, the animal world, and the speaking kingdom. The person feels like if I don't use my ability to speak, then I'm like an animal, then I'm just going to be stepped on. And I don't want that to happen to me. I need to express myself. I need to tell how I feel. I need to use my words to be able to make myself into a medaber, into a person. But 37, Lachen kishedarshim adam shelolo daber lashon hara. We're telling a person, don't speak lashon hara. It doesn't mean, okay, I want you to just swallow it, and 2 hours from now, okay, now that you've calmed down, now you'll say it, but without as much, you know, fury and passion. No. Mesirah nefesh inyana shebenikuda achad veluk tana. Yivatzeritz al adam shinui ma'uti b'chol tzirat ha'chayim shalom. Lafoch liyok yivyachol pachot intelligent. Pachot chacham b'nei abriyot. Shinui me'ein zeh avur hadam hu mamash kmo lamot. But to do something that's going to be radical, that in a certain sense you feel like you've lost your life, you've lost that koach hamadaber, you've lost being an intelligent person. It's going to be a change in your whole being, but that's real mesiras nefesh. So he says it could be in the smallest thing. It's a start. So to say, I'll never speak lashon hara, that's a goal, halavai, we should reach it. But you can say, in this work situation, when people are talking about X, and that becomes the company's, laughing stock during, tea hour, coffee break, I'm going to walk away. I'm not going to say anything. And people are going to think that I'm this and I'm that. And I'm going to feel like, I'm an absolute nothing. That's fine. For you, that's your serious nefesh. Not to talk about a certain person. Not to talk at a certain time. So, okay, it may be at other times. But in this case, it has to be something that's going to be a shinui mahuti. It's something that's going to be a transformation, to say I will not hear or think or speak about X person or X situation. Everyone's talking about shul politics and the rabbi. I am not going to talk about it. It's not going to happen. Being in that situation is going to put you, okay, albeit an uncomfortable situation, but that's the korban olah. That's giving of yourself as a sacrifice. That's mesiras nefesh. And he says, this is not only in Lashon Hara. It gives in 38 as Shabbos as an example. He says, Shabbos. So Shabbos is time of Dveikus to Hashem. Well, Dover, Navi Yeshaya tells us there's certain things we're allowed to say in Shabbos, speak about it in Shabbos, certain things we can't. So you're around people who are talking about things that aren't Shabbos-tic. For you to not join this conversation and say to yourself, I'm only going to speak Shabbos-tic things, that everyone's talking about what vacation they're going to take this week, and you're not talking about this. So you feel socially awkward, that you're not part of this particular conversation. That social awkwardness, for the sake of God, that's mesiras nefesh. That's the korban olah. That's the humility that we're talking about here. It's not about a sense of self. It's about a sense of someone greater than yourself, a sense of God. So we have, my friends, in the PhD, the passion. And davening has to be filled with that passion, like the original sacrifice of Mount Sinai. We have the H of humility, that we have to recognize that we have to be mesir nefesh to Hashem, and that's going to entail giving of ourselves in a way that may be uncomfortable. But ultimately, what it's about is humbling ourselves in front of someone greater than ourselves and recognizing our limitations and doing something major to recognize that there is a higher being, a higher force, not just when it's comfortable for me, but when it's right and when it's correct, and to be able to be nofser nefesh even in a small area. That humility, Hashem's running the show. And finally, we come to the D. And that is the Tam V'Das, Rav Sternbach in 39. Yireh kavanah b'zeh sheba lo ro l'Yisrael shikadshu atzman kol yimei chayim tzmidim kesidram. We have to sanctify ourselves every single day. And all our being has to be holy to Hashem. Like that original sacrifice. When they were on the highest of levels. And there was no, it wasn't about themselves. It was all about doing what Hashem wanted. And this is This is about complete devotion to Hashem, where we don't have our personal agendas. It is completely sacrificed to Hashem. That, my friends, finishes up the D and the PhD, the passion, the humility, and the total devotion, the D, toward a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That devotion that Klai Yisrael had in Mamar Sinai, where there was nothing else on their mind, all they thought about was how could they serve Hashem, that total Masira, total giving over in service of God, is our mindset, our rubric for our constant avoda for Hashem. Let's try to develop this in the short time we have left. Rav Reis, in a Sefer, Pamei Moed on the Chagim, speaks about Shivat Sar B'Tamuz, which Mirtz Hashem we will have on Tuesday. And we know that a fast day is not a time just to fast, but it's time to stop from our regular routine and to pause and to think about why are we fasting. And we know, and this is brought in Source 41, there are five things that happen at Shivat Shomer Tammuz. The luchos were broken, the Korban Tamid was stopped in the first temple, the walls of Yerushalayim in the second temple were broken into, the Sefer Torah was burned, and they put a selim in the Heichal, a Avodah Zarah, into the base of Mikdash. What do all of these things have in common? What is Shivat Shomer Tammuz about on a deeper conceptual level? And I also found this idea very, very powerful and hopefully something we can implement, hopefully just for this year. That's all we'll need it for. Hopefully not even for this year. Halavai, that Mashiach should come before that. And that is, he speaks about the difference we alluded to before between Bilam and Moshe Rabbeinu. Bilam being the model for the non-Jews, and Moshe Rabbeinu being for the Jews. Bilam's relationship with Hashem was not to have a constant relationship of Kedusha. And you see this by Bilam. Hashem comes to Bilam, and he has a prophecy, but he doesn't change as a person, right? We know that the midos of Bilam, the gavaleis, the haughtiness, and the narrow eye, you would think that if God would speak to you personally, you would change, you'd become a different person. But Bilam represented somebody who was touched by greatness, touched by godliness, touched by spirituality, and remained unchanged, the same person. And that's the idea of Vayikar Elohim El Bilam. Hashem comes to him. And we find that the donkey is able to talk more than Bilam is, because donkey is on a level, Bilam's on a level of a donkey. Kibemot needs mu, you're like a donkey if you're not able. Adambi karbal yalim shal kibemot needs mu. If you're not going to be able to take the specialness that you have and change it, then you're no better than a donkey. And you see further the way Bilam tried to manipulate God. What does he do? He builds sacrifices for God. The sacrifices are not, in the, as we've been speaking about, a way of halachma, soldering, of connecting. It was a way of bribing. Look, God, I made you all these sacrifices. The least you can do is do my will. It's a whole different relationship. It's relationship based on gaiva. It's relationship based on sense of haughtiness and self. That God, you speak to me and I feel great, but I don't have to change as a result. I don't have to give you anything. And if anything, I can tell you how to run the show. That, he notes, Rav Reis, is the difference between Bilam and us. In the squiggly line, Ma Shoneh, Gisha Zumima, in 43, Shemafyen and Am Yisrael, how different from this is this to the Jewish people? Yechudato Shel Am Yisrael Livadak Kviyut B'Tchum HaKedusha, what we've been speaking about all day today, it's our regular Kedusha, in, out, constant. Bitui Asi Shel Gisha Zui Batei Tzomos Rabbeinu Alav Shalom, Shechayav Ayu Miksha Achat Shel Dveikus Baboreh, who is our paradigm Moshe Rabbeinu, whose whole life, panim al panim, face to face, is a relationship with Hashem. Kviatam in 44, Shal Yisrael B'Tzel, Knafei Ashrina, He Sheman Ami Bil'am L'Kalel Yisrael. This kvius, this ability to be constantly connected to God, became like a protective wall around Klal Yisrael, impenetrable wall that Bil'am was unable to curse us. Now, with this in mind, we can appreciate Shivat Shomer Tammuz 46. B'nekuda zu boletet chumrato miyuchedet shel yotzayim b'tammuz. This is the day where we have the wall being broken into. This is the day where they put a tzelem in the heichal, a avodah zarah, into the base of Mikdash. We have to recognize, and he quotes the Reb Chaim of Volozhin, that when we read about Shivat Shomer Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, it's not what the Goyim did to us. It's we've done to ourselves. When we don't have that kvius, that constant day-in, day-out relationship with Hashem 24/7, then we've broken the walls, our protective walls, in our connection to God. And then it's very easy for the nations to come in. As he says, and it's very powerful, in the middle of 46, Lo'or zot machshava lo ta'ora shel adam Yisrael, one impure thought from a Jew, chamura harbe yoter machnasat tumah lebeit kodesh hakadoshim bebeit hamikdash shelamata, is much worse than tumah bring board into the Beit Hamikdash down here. We are the ones who are the ones responsible through our thoughts, through our actions, to the protection of Klal Yisrael and to the Beit Hamikdash. And that is why on Yud-Zayin B'Tammuz, when we lost that protective wall around ourselves in terms of having this constant relationship with Hashem, so then it was very easy for the nations to break down the physical outer wall and be able to put that Tselem in the Heichal, because we ourselves have put the negative thoughts into the Beit HaMikdash. And is it any wonder in 47 that the Korban Tamid stopped being brought? Because the Korban Tamid reflects, as we've spoken today, this closeness. It reflects this constancy in our relationship with Hashem. When this constancy is broken in the inner world, in our relationship with Hashem, is it any wonder that it's going to be manifested on an outer level with the inability of the Jewish people to bring that sacrifice to Hashem? That's what we have to understand. When we're mourning on Shivatzar B'Tammuz, what are we mourning for? We're mourning for the broken walls. We're mourning for our own disconnect with Hashem. Outwardly, it's manifest in the walls being broken down, and the Tselem and the Heichal and the Korban Tamid being broken, but being stopped. But inwardly, it's a reflection, and for us to pause, to realize that it's about in our own lives, as individuals, as in the nation, where have our walls been broken? And I think this is a particular message before I'd like to speak about for a moment before we're going to close with two very small, short ideas. This is a particular message I think we can take home in terms of our devotion and the D of a constant devotion and making those protective walls around us as the summer is upon us now. Albeit that Shivatzar B'Tammuz is very early in the summer, but it's true of every summer, where people go away and they say, you know what, we have certain standards of kashrut at home, but when we go away, so you know, you can't find the same symbols we usually do, so we'll make do with questionable ones that we wouldn't normally use. This is true with our children. They daven in school. Do we have to have them daven at home? Do we daven? Do we have the same schedule of learning when the classes that are during the year aren't found in the summer, when the whole schedule is broken and there's a certain lack of structure in the air, comes along Yud-Zayin B'Tammuz and says to us, if the walls are going to be broken, if we haven't created around us what our boundaries are, so then we're living in a state of chorba, we're living in a state of despair, we're living in a state of destruction. Yud-Zayin B'Tammuz is a time of tshuva, as every fast day is. It's a time for us to build our own walls. It's a time for us to sit down and say, what protective walls do we have around ourselves and our family and whatever influence I have in my community, that these will not be broken over this period of time. They may go away on Shabbos, but what am I bringing with me on Shabbos if I go up to the country or to the mountain? What sfar am I bringing? What type of game, etc.? Making sure that the Shabbos atmosphere and environment and the clothes are fitting for Shabbos, that you can be alone on a desert island, and it's you and a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you feel that feeling. Shivatzar B'Tammuz, time of introspection to make sure that our devotion isn't going to waver in any way, and the walls remain strong. At the same time that Shivatzar B'Tammuz is a time for introspection, it's also a time to anticipate the great future and the great redemption. Rav Wolfson has a lot on the fact that Shivatzar B'Tammuz is the day that belongs to Rut HaMoaviyah. The Chasam Sofer says that Boaz and Rut got married on Shivatzar B'Tammuz, and she, as we know from the Navi, she conceived that day Oved, who is going to be the Shoresh, the root of Melech HaMashiach. And even though that the Tamid stopped on that day, it's as if Mashiach is born, coming from this day. And that we know David HaMelech, Mashiach Ben David, will rebuild the Beit HaMikdash and will be able to bring the sacrifices again. And this is why it's put down in Sfarim HaKadoshim in the Arrow in 49, that Aaron, when he said about the Chet HaEgel, the day before Shiva Sabbat Tammuz, he said, Chag L'Hashem Machar, there'll be a festival for Hashem tomorrow. So normal Pshuto Shemekra means that this is going to be the festival of the Chet HaEgel. But on a deeper level, Machar, we know, can be after a long time. Ultimately, this is going to be a time of Ditsa Verina, a time when the Soma Ravi will turn to Sasson V'Simcha. And that's what we have to understand here, that although we're looking at this day in terms of a sad time, recognize that this day has the ability to turn into a day of tremendous joy. And that's why when we read Parshas Pinchas around Shiva Sabbat Tammuz, and as he notes in source number 50, the word tamid, constant, is found 17 times in Parshas Pinchas. Olata tamid, mavata olata tamid, alolata tamid, to remind us that the 17th of Tammuz was the time that the tamid had stopped. But keep in mind as well, again, that the time of Shiva Sabbat Tammuz will be a time, Chag L'Hashem Machar, that ultimately it's going to be brought back. And then Shiva Sabbat Tammuz is going to begin the 3 weeks of tremendous Simcha, which is ultimately going to culminate in Tisha B'Av and in Tu B'Av, which is going to be a tremendous time of joy. And therefore, my friends, what we've tried to see today, that the Korban Tamid is about having that constant devotion to Hashem. How does that manifest in our life, the lachmi, the halachma, the soldering? It manifests itself in its connection to Ma'amad Har Sinai. On the PhD, the P being the passion, that we have to recognize that just as they had passion the first time it was brought, we have to stop before we start. Think about what we're doing. Realize that tefillah is a direct connection to Hashem. Take the 5 seconds, not the 3 seconds. Be able to enunciate our words and feel that we're talking to Hashem about everything that we need. Thank Hashem and recognize the relationship with Hashem. Har Sinai is about that humility, that Nasa V'Nishma, the Zuama, the Gaiva was taken away. We need to have that humility in our early times in life and later times in life, recognizing Hashem is running the show with all the limitations we may have in different aspects of our lives. But Mesiras Nefesh, be able to give of yourself completely. Find an area where you're going to make a tremendous, something small, but make a tremendous statement. I won't speak about a person, I won't speak on Shabbat, I'll be careful about. And that one small area, it's as if you've done your small, humble part in being Moser Nefesh to Hashem. And finally, the D of devotion, the devotion to Har Sinai that all we thought about of Hashem and Tamadas, that devotion we need in our Vodas Hashem. That's manifested by making sure we have the walls that are going to be our gedarim, our fences that we're not going to cross. I refuse. Even though maybe this summer, even though no one's watching, even though no one knows, I won't cross over. And when we have our fences, so then the outer fences around us can be upheld and rebuilt. When our fences fall, it's no wonder that the fence around Yerushalayim fell and the Korban HaTamid, which reflects our constant relationship with Hashem, fell as well. And our job is to be able to take the time of Shiva Sabbat Tammuz, to use it as a time of tshuva, as well as a time of ishtapukus, of desire, that the Chag L'Hashem Machar, that in the future it will be a holiday to Hashem, should come speedily in our days.